Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, November the 10th, 1985. We trust this service today on this beautiful Lord's Day will be a wonderful blessing in your life. We know God certainly has a message for you on this tape, and our prayer is that your life will be uplifted and that you'll be encouraged to keep on living for the Lord. I trust you'll be praying for me as I go this week to the Kentucky Baptist Convention in Lexington. I know God is able to give us a wonderful time of fellowship there as we listen to God's Word and have fellowship together. God bless you and strengthen you and lift you up as you fellowship with us by means of this tape. God bless you. We love you. There's a song in our song books that goes right along with the message today. I believe I'm going to have Myrna come and play this song for us. Brother Tom, lead us in page 183. Finally got the tape recorder going, I believe. What's wrong with it? I guess the tape was stuck or something. 183. Grace greater than our sin. Let's stand again and sing this song. First and last stanza, please.
Fred had already picked this song out, too, so it's...
Were y'all going to sing this?
Yeah, we were going to, but it, everybody else sang it.
We can let y'all sing if you'd like to. That's... Sorry.
That's all right. We'll go and sing.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lord.
you, Brother Tom. Today we're going to be preaching a message on God's marvelous grace from the verses that Brother Sutton read for us a while ago. Thank God for those verses. Found in Titus 2, 11 through 15. Before we get into the message, though, we'd like to mention these prayer requests. We'd like to remember Martha's cousin down in Florida who's going to be having open heart surgery soon, Carol Sue Akers. Be praying for her this week. And also, John Baker's brother, Frank Baker, who's going to be having the heart catheterization up in Cincinnati this week. Let's be praying for these two requests. Also, Brother Ed White's wife will be having surgery Friday down here at the Hazard ARH. Let's be praying for her. I know God's able to bless them and as they go through this uncertain time in their life. I got another letter this week, I believe it was yesterday, from Bill Whitaker in Manila, Philippines, and we'd like to mention this request that he wrote in his letter. November the 14th through the 1st of December, they're going to be having a crusade in Manila, Philippines, a city of 6 to 8 million people. They've already rented a 14,000-seat arena. And John Bisagno from Texas is going to be preaching there November 24th through the 1st of December for Bill Whitaker and the people there in Manila. We want to pray also for Dale Bagel and his wife, who will be going back to Botswana. I'd like to give you all an assignment this week. Learn how to spell Botswana, which is written here in the bulletin. B-O-P-H-U-T-H-A-T-S-W-A-N-A. He's one of our two missionary families that we've heard from. They're in Botswana, which is surrounded by South Africa, where they're having so much unrest at this time. And they'll be going back to Botswana on the 29th of December. Let's be praying for them as they leave going back to their place of service. Let's have another word of prayer together at this time. Our Father, we thank Thee so much for being here in Your house of worship on this beautiful Lord's Day. Father, we know today You have a purpose in our being here. Help us, Lord, to lean upon Thee and to realize that You love us, You care about us, and You're able to supply all of our need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray for others today besides these we've mentioned who have needs. We pray for Anna Campbell down in North Carolina and Murdy Cobble up to Leatherwood and many others, Lord, listed here in our bulletin. We just pray that You'd bless each one and work out Your will in everyone. We just thank Thee for loving us. And may this day, Lord, be all that You'd have it to be. We thank Thee for those who are here in our service this morning. And may Your will be worked out in every life. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. As I say, we're going to be speaking today on God's marvelous grace. I don't believe on this side of eternity we'll fully realize all that God's grace really means to us. One of the most wonderful songs ever written is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I've heard Amazing Grace in many different forms and sung many different ways. But it's always the same. It always means the same. I heard Glenn Campbell play Amazing Grace on bagpipes when People's Bank had their 50th anniversary, I believe, a few years ago. I've got Amazing Grace sung by my dad on tape at home. God's marvelous grace is where He reaches down to a lost soul and lifts them out of the mire of sin, as it tells us in Psalm 40. And He sets our feet upon a solid foundation. My friend, today, if your life is not on the Lord this morning, you're on a risky foundation. Your life needs to be on the Lord. My prayer for you is that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. If you're saved, and I trust you'll go forth from this service to live a richer, more productive life. And if you're lost, my prayer is that you'll stop and listen to God's Word. You're on the broad way to hell, the broad way to destruction, and that life could end any moment. Just Friday morning, a fellow in a loaded semi-coal truck wrecked over here close to the highwayman. Myrna and I were going yesterday morning, or Friday morning it was, over to my mom's to try to help her out a little bit. And past the accident, it was still foggy at 8:30. And I can imagine what it was at 1:30 or 2 o'clock that morning. He's in eternity today, run over by two or three vehicles. My friend, life is so uncertain. And your life today needs to be on the solid foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is running out. And I wouldn't put off salvation another day. Life is so unpredictable. In 1 John 3:2, this will be our theme verse for today. John says to Christian people in 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and we become a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by grace through faith." In Ephesians 2:8 it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." In the evening service, we're going to be preaching on flat, F-I-N-A-L, flat final. And we'll get to that at 7 o'clock this evening. Today we need to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. It tells us in Hebrews 12:2, "Following a great victory, King Cyrus of Persia took as prisoner a prince and his wife and their children. And when they were brought into the king's tent, he asked this to the prince, 'What will you give me if I set you free?' And the prince said, 'I will give you half of all that I possess.' 'What will you give me if I release your children?' The prince said, 'I will give you all that I possess.' And the king said to the prince, 'What will you give me if I release your wife?' The prince said to the king, 'I will give you my life if you will release my wife.'" And looking at all this family, the king set every one of them free. He set them all free. And afterward, the prince said to his wife, "Didn't you notice how handsome Cyrus was, the king?" And the wife said to her husband, "I didn't notice him. I had eyes only for the one who said he would lay down his life for me." My friend, this morning, you and I need to have our eyes on no one but Jesus. who is the author and the finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. If we're saved this morning, our life is on Jesus, the solid foundation. We're children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by grace through faith. First of all, God's marvelous grace reaches us. The first verse Brother Sutton read for us a while ago in Titus 2:11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." No matter how far down the road of life, the road of sin, anyone goes, God's grace still reaches us and lifts us from sin to salvation. A verse I mentioned a while ago in Psalm 40, it says, "He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." God's grace this morning has reached us. God's grace has reached us. I appreciate that. Without God's grace coming into my life, I would still be a lost, hell-bound sinner. I'd be on my way to hell without God's wonderful grace. At a special chapel service one time in an Ohio penitentiary, the governor was to grant a pardon that day to one of the prisoners. And they were all looking forward. They didn't know whose name was going to be called. The governor stepped up to the microphone and called out the name of Reuben Johnson. Reuben Johnson just stood there. And finally, the chaplain directed his attention toward Johnson and said, "Reuben, it's you. Come on, there's a pardon for you." When all the other prisoners started going back to their cells, Reuben Johnson got in line and started marching back to his cell. And the warden called out, "Reuben, you don't belong here anymore. You're a free man." My friend, today God's grace has reached us if we're saved. We're free. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." If you read the book of Galatians, you know that it's comparing law and grace. We're under grace now. Thank God for His marvelous grace. Titus 3:4 says, the third chapter of Titus, verse 4, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior hath appeared." Kindness and love is all wrapped up today in God's grace. God's grace reaches us. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:5. Grace gives us what we do not deserve, while mercy holds back from us what we do deserve. If you and I got what we deserve today, you know where we'd be? We wouldn't be here enjoying this service this morning. I know where I'd be without God's grace. I wouldn't be here this morning, I know that. Grace gives us what we don't deserve. God's grace reaches us where we are. Being justified by His grace, Titus 3:7 says, that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God's grace reaches us. We were over at my mom's the other day, and she gets a newsletter from the church where my brother is a member. And in that newsletter was written a four-line verse out of a song. "What a wonderful message in God's Word. My sins are blotted out, I know. If I trust in His redeeming blood, my sins are blotted out. I know. It's wonderful this morning to know that our sins are blotted out. They're blotted out, never to be remembered against us anymore. Second, God's grace teaches us. It teaches us what to leave. In Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, it teaches us what to leave. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, getting our priorities straight. In 1 Timothy 6:6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul says in Titus chapter 2 that we need to leave, we need to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We're living in a land where there's a lot of things on every hand to lust after. We need to beware of covetousness and be content with such things as we have, knowing that He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. 1 Peter 2:11, Peter said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. James said in James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. We need to leave ungodliness and worldly lust. God's grace not only teaches us what to leave, God's wonderful, marvelous grace teaches us how to live. We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Did you know what? In this present world is the only place where you and I are told to be a witness, to be a light. Let your light so shine before men. God's grace teaches us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Philippians 2:15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We were driving along the other day, Thursday I guess it was, and I turned my left turn signal on and nothing happened. And I said to Myrna, lights that aren't working cause many wrecks. And that hit me, as the old saying, right between the eyes, what I had said. And I thought about the message I was going to give this morning. Lights that aren't working cause many spiritual wrecks. It didn't take us long to get a new bulb and put in that left light behind so that those lights would work. I trust your light is shining brightly. God's grace teaches us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Right here in Airport Gardens, Perry County, Kentucky, United States of America. It teaches us how to live. And then God's grace teaches us how to look. Tonight we're going to be, as I said, preaching on the flat final. This verse here sort of goes right along with the service this evening, the message this evening. It says, looking for that blessed hope Not only that. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How often do we think of the Lord's return? I want to say that again. How often do we think of the Lord's return? 1 John 3:3 says, "Whoso hath this hope, the hope of someday being like the Lord, whoso hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." I tell you, friends, thinking about the Lord coming back will cause us to live a more godly life, a more righteous life, a more sober life as we look for Jesus to come back. What if Jesus was going to come back at 12 noon today, which is 8 minutes to go yet? What if we knew that he would come back at noon today, Eastern Standard Time? How would we spend the next 8 minutes? My friend, you and I don't know when he's coming back. The one wonderful thing about it is we know he's coming. We know he's going to come someday. The same Lord who said, "I am going away," also said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus, in John 14, had not laid down his life yet. He had not gone through the door of death for our salvation. He said, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself." The Bible says that Jesus gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus 2:14. I don't believe we are as peculiar as we should be for the Lord. We're on the straight and narrow way leading up to heaven. The world is on the broad way leading to hell. Jesus gave himself, why? To redeem us from all iniquity. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:9, "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. I trust our treasures up there. We'd like to have our invitation song at this time. Page 201 says, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." The Lord today knows your need. I don't know it. You might have walked in our church this morning lost. You can leave on your way to heaven. Page 201. "Pass me not," as we stand to sing our invitation hymn.
Thank you.
You know, I believe the granddaddy of all sins is the sin of unbelief. That's what's going to take people to hell, is the sin of unbelief. And Jesus, in the book of John, he said, and when the Holy Spirit has come, he will reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. That second stanza there says, help my unbelief. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. The Lord loves you this morning, and he wants to put within your life the Holy Spirit, who is able to lead you and direct you as we're receptive to his leadership. Let's sing that last stanza, Brother Tom. This is the pastor, James Hamblin. The tape for this Sunday has quite a bit left on it yet. We didn't get it started on time, and something was wrong with the tape, so my wife, Myrna, is going to play two songs for you to sort of fill out the rest of the tape. God bless you.